that we wouldn't have anything to be thankful for. We ask you to transform this meeting tonight into your house. Help us to stay focused on your message. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey everybody, my name is Stevie B and I'm a grateful alcoholic. And a proud member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
And you know, there's so much I want to cover tonight. It's just not going to possibly happen. I had 50 minutes worth of material that I was going to try to cram into 45, so we're just going to do the best we can and enjoy ourselves and maybe do a little bit of reflection over the last 11 weeks. And I want to thank all of you for coming out week after week after week. I want to thank the West Side Men's Group for their support. And, you know, we do that, we do the whole nice thing. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but let me tell you what, like I say each week, it is an incredible thing to be a member of a home group. And whoever started the nice thing, it was probably because they had a lot of appreciation for what that home group had done for them. And I know that Donna, and I know that Wendy, and I know that Jimmy, and I know that everyone else in here that has a home group, you feel the same thing about your home group. There is nothing like having a home group where people know you, and hopefully they know about you, and hopefully they'll call you on your stuff, and hopefully you'll check in with them. So even though the West Side Men's Group has that nice thing going on, I want to tell you what's nice is to have a home group. And I'm so grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous today. I want to tell you I've been in bed for the last 3 days. The first time coming out of the house was today for a chest x-ray and to go to the doctors on prompting of Richard Spike and my wife, who said if I didn't get to the doctors that I shouldn't come to the meeting tonight. And you know how I would never miss this meeting even if I had to take a lung machine with me. So I decided I would succumb to their requests, and I did went to the doctor. So my voice is going to be a little hoarse. But in carrying the 12th step, I didn't think it was appropriate for me to be home in bed when I knew that the message was about having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, that we got to do this thing, that we got to carry this message. There's no greater honor in the world than to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous and telling people what God has done for me in my life. So even though I don't feel physically up to it, that doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with me. We're going to talk about tonight some of the things that we do as a result of having had this spiritual awakening. How you can tell if you've had this spiritual awakening. They speak about faith without works is dead. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. Does my voice sound as strange to you as it does to me? Because it is ridiculous. It's hot. It's always hot up here. I wanted to say thank you to Owen and to Wendy and to Jimmy and the members of this group. What an amazing opportunity this has been for me. This has really changed my sobriety, changed my walk. And I want to tell you that Tuesday night, as my friends know, Tuesday night is family night for me. And I don't take commitments on Tuesdays because I have an 87-year-old grandfather that's going to be 88 in a couple weeks. And I have a wife. And the one night a week that we don't take commitments on is Tuesdays. Well, one time I committed to go to a meeting at Richard's house. And it created a very serious situation in my home. And so Tuesday night is my night off. And Friday night is my date night. And those two nights, you know, we try not to have Alcoholics Anonymous not come in the way, but we try to keep those nights open. So when Jimmy called me, what did I initially say, Jimmy, immediately? I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's on a Tuesday. I would love to. It would be incredible, but I can't. And I walked into the store, so my wife and I worked together, and I said to Sandy, you know, Jimmy just called and they asked me to do the steps over at the 12-step house on Tuesdays. It would entail the next 12 weeks, plus we're going on a cruise, so it would be 13 weeks into our life. Of course, I said no. And my wife said to me, without skipping a beat, she says to me, oh, you're going to call me. Call Jimmy back. We're going to do that. That's going to be great. And as much as it's a sacrifice for her to be here, it took all of 30 seconds for her to make the decision that it was okay with her. And of course, you know, inwardly, the way that I said it, I was, you know, I held my head low. I was like, you know, Jimmy called and I told him we couldn't, and I went like this. You know, I give him the alcoholic, you know, because I know what I'm doing, right? It's not like I just left it there. I was like, you know, I told him it was family night. And I gave him the Al-Anon signal, and I went like this. And I want to just thank God for Al-Anon, and I want to thank God. What the Al-Anon program and the Alcoholics Anonymous program has done for my wife and I has been truly nothing short of a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle. And because Sandy has a program, and I have a program, but now we have a program that we can do side by side, and sometimes even like in the ninth chapter and other meetings that we go to together, as we have couples in here together from ninth chapter, there's nothing like that. To have a common language where we can speak about recovery is amazing. So, if you don't know anything about Al-Anon, it's an amazing program, and it really, really does help in so many different affairs. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, people make a very big deal out of these two words in here. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Have you ever heard anyone say it like that? Because what they're trying to tell you is that if you've had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And there's going to be a very easy way for you to find out if this has happened in your life. There's so much amazing information in the 12 and 12 in the big book about the 12th step. There's an entire chapter, whereas there's, for the sixth step, there's a paragraph, and the seventh step, there's a half a paragraph, and the ninth step, there's six pages. In the 12th step, because there's so much importance on us going out there and spreading this message to keep what we have, there's an entire chapter dedicated in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It starts off by this. If this is your first time coming here and you waited to the 12th step, like Andy and Scott and Dave in the back, please try to get some of the other tapes so you see that I was much more fluid when I wasn't on 16 different types of cold medication. You're going to be like, is this what everyone was lining up all these weeks for? I ask you to backtrack, please, to the 11th step. Do not hold me accountable to this week only. Oh, thank you. Well, the line that I'm looking for. We alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in a simple way that we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. Welcome, Casey. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. I want you to pay attention to that one last line. Faith without works is dead. If you remember last week, we hit home three pages in the big book. Then we kept talking about three pages. You guys remember what that was? 86, 87, and 88. That was the theme of last week. And of course, we talked about the St. Francis Prayer, which Larry spoke about this week in our home group. The St. Francis Prayer. And was anybody here for that last week? Do you remember hearing about the St. Francis Prayer? And how many people this week tried to, as a result of the St. Francis Prayer, tried to be understanding rather than be understood? How many people this week tried to be understanding? What, four people? Were you here last week? Do you remember the 11-step prayer? Where we spoke about trying to be understanding rather than be understood? Talk amongst yourselves. Get back to me when you guys are done. I'm right up here. Let me read this to you. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Where there is hatred, may I bring love. Where there is wrong, may I bring a spirit of forgiveness. Where there is discord, may I bring harmony. Where there is error, may I bring truth. Where there is doubt, I may bring faith. Where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. To understand than to be understood. To understand than to be understood. If you meditate on that line right there, it can change your life. If you get nothing over the last 11 weeks, if you just meditate on that line, to be understanding rather than to be understood. Right now I'm practicing that principle. I'm like... to be loved, to love rather than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, and it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life, amen. Man, that was a kickoff for last week. There were so many times last week that I wanted to be understood. I wanted you to understand me. And I wanted to be understood. But I remember what we spoke about, and I remember that it was better to be understanding than to be understood. And a calm and a peace came over me. Then the next line says, and that's all well and good, and it's awesome, and we got to live by that. And then it says, but faith without works is dead. So you know what that means? It means there's a lot more work. It's okay to be walking around and doing the mantra and having the hands out and doing the ohms and walking around. It's better to be a forgiving than to be forgiving. That's great. It's great you're friend. You have this incredible peace and you're going through the week and nothing's in Mario's like, and everything's hitting you and you're like Teflon and foo, foo. And everything's, and you're doing great. But if you're not out there helping anybody, if you're not there spreading the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're not out there with your hand to the next person, if you're not there telling them what we're doing, if you're not getting dirty, if you're not in service, what does the line say? Your faith is now dead. There's only a couple places in the big book that it talks about death. To drink is to die. Our faith is dead without works. So do you think that was just going to glance over that? Do you think that was just going to be something real, real small? Let's just glance over that line. Where did they get that? They got that from the book of James in the Bible. And I'm not saying that you have to follow the Bible, and it has nothing to do with it, but I'm saying if you want to know where it comes from, it comes from the book of James. Listen to what it says in the book of James. What does it profit, my friends, if someone said that he has faith, but he doesn't do anything about it? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and doesn't have any food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be filled and warmed, but you don't give him the things which are needed for the body, how does that help him? Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's where they get the line. Now, you want to know how you know that that's where they get the line? Because they put it in parentheses. Means they got it from somewhere else. This is where they got it from. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What does that all mean? It means this. If you've had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you're going to want to go out and you want to do this. You're going to want to do this. This is not going to seem like a chore for you. You're going to love to show up for institutions. You're going to love to want to go over to Bark. You're going to want to do this. You know this guy, Jimmy, that looks like a mild-mannered reporter? We have a meeting on Wednesdays. He comes an hour early to set the meeting up. Doesn't think that I know that it's him. Sets the coffee up week after week after week after week. You see the guy that picked up 25 years tonight, John Platt? Same thing. Service, service, service. Rick Riccardi, all these people that are in this room. There's so many people that are involved in service in this room. And you know what? They don't, you know why you don't know about it? They don't let you know about it. Because having had a spiritual awakening, it's a joy to them. A joy. They find it an amazing gift and a blessing that they show up early to set up chairs. They can't wait to take the when we used to do ashtrays, they couldn't wait. I used to see the guys with double-digit sobriety cleaning the ashtrays. There's a guy in here tonight that has won like awards in sports and does all these amazing things and is known throughout the world. I saw him last week carrying chairs in our home group. How is it that the people that are involved in service are always the guys and gals that have what I want? Because if you do all this work and you have this spiritual awakening and you get all the way up to the 11th step and all of a sudden your life changes and you're not thinking about drinking, you're not thinking about drugging, and you're actually thinking about your other fellow man and you do nothing with it, what's the point? Now, I don't want you to think that that is my, that that is exactly what my opinion. I want to read this from the 12 and 12. In step 10, we have begun to get a basis for daily living. We keenly realized that we would need to continue taking personal inventory, and that when we were wrong, we ought to promptly admit it. In step 11, we saw that if God had restored us to sanity, pay attention, we got 15 minutes to cram the most amazing amount of information in and sum up the entire 12 weeks. So if this is your one time being here, you know, you got to pay attention for the next 15 minutes. Step 11, we saw that if God had restored us to sanity and enabled us... Oh, by the way, I'm sorry that I keep speaking loudly into the mic. My stage manager, Steve D., told me that I spoke too loudly last week, and I'm going to try to pull away a little bit over there. In step 11, we saw that if God had restored us to sanity and that it enabled us to live in, with some peace of mind in a surely troubled world, that such a God was worth knowing better. Go ahead. But as direct contact as possible, the persistent use of meditation and prayer, we found, did open the channel so that where there had been a trickle, listen to this, come up here, come back up here. Where there had been a trickle, guess what the next line is? Now there was a river, less, a river, which led to be sure power and safe guidance from God as we were increasingly better to understand Him. Remember when we only had a trickle? Remember when some of us in here only had a trickle? We just had that little trickle of faith. We had that little trickle. You know, someone said to us that we came into Alcoholics Anonymous and we might be able to get a day, and then we got a day, and somehow we got a month, and then we had a little trickle come in, and we had a little self-respect, and we started to shower. That's my thing, I'm sorry. And somehow, somewhere down the road, 6 months or 9 months, someone said to us, would you take a meeting into a treatment center for us? And we looked around, and we said, me? And then we said, I only have 9 months. And then they said, you're the guy, and I want you to come. And then slowly, that little trickle becomes faith, and then hopefully we have a sponsor that says, get on our knees in the morning and ask God to keep you sober. And hopefully that sponsor is strong enough to say at the end of the night, get on your knees and thank Him. And then that trickle becomes like a drip. It becomes a drip. And the water starts flowing in, and you start getting, and you know what? Someone says, would you do me the honor of setting up the chairs for the meeting? And you look and you say, me? And they give you a key. They give you a key to a place that nobody wanted to break in anyway. They give you a key. You would think they didn't have a key, but they have a key to this place and many others. And they give you a key and they say, will you come early and set up the chairs? And you say, me? You're going to give me a key? You know who I am. And they say, no, we know who you are. And then someone says after you, hey, would you help us clean up afterwards? We're going to stack 10 chairs higher. We're going to put them into that thing. And you get, and it starts to flow. It starts to flow. And then you get a year, Donna. Like you get a year. And I'm so proud of you, by the way. I love you very much. You get a year, and then someone says, would you go over and see Bob and Larry and the guys in the institutions committee and see if you can take a meeting into a jail or institution or a treatment center, and there's positions open for the ladies and there's positions open for the men, and you go and you take a position, and then you're carrying your big book and your preamble, and you're walking into a place and you have no idea what you're doing. You walk into a place and you've seen some other people take you in there, and you'd go into the young people's thing and you're bringing your meeting in. And then the river starts to flow. And you start feeling like you have purpose. You start feeling like it's not all about you. People that didn't want you around invite you to places. I have one, Justin, Danny, Michael, Todd. Is Todd here tonight? Todd. Doug. All my guys, and I call my guys, and I love these guys. These are my lifeblood. If it wasn't for these guys, I wouldn't know if I was being of maximum service. My guys take meetings into jails and institutions. Doug takes a meeting in on Tuesdays to Bark. Danny takes a meeting in on Saturdays to the young people's. Justin takes a meeting to the young people on Saturdays. And Todd and Mike are on the way to doing that. This is what we do. And if you're not, and let me tell you something, if you're walking into that meeting, and I did it for 4 years before Doug took it over. And if you're walking into that meeting like this, rarely have we seen a person fail. Thoroughly following our path, right, Tom? Thoroughly following our path. If you're walking in like that, you haven't had the spiritual. Let me read this. Let me read this to you from Bill. Yeah, Bill W. In case you haven't heard of him. Because you know what Bob? You know what Bob said? You know Bob, the second guy that Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what he said about people that don't go to meetings? You know what he said? I have no use for them. They have no gratitude. They're not carrying the message. I have no use for them. They have no gratitude. You know what? We talk about November being gratitude month. You want to check your gratitude? Who are you helping? Where's the message you're carrying? Let me read this to you. You're not going to believe this is in the big book. As a matter of fact, as I've done the last 12 weeks, Jimmy, I can't believe a lot of this stuff is in the big book. I thought I knew the big book. I knew parts of the big book. But you want to really get into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous? Get back into the big book. It's amazing stuff in there. Incredible. I have too many post-its. I was overzealous tonight. You know, 4 different types of cold medicine will do that to you. Never avoid responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day, if ought to be. What does that mean? You have to act the Good Samaritan every day. Does anybody know what that means, a Good Samaritan? It's another Bible reference from the book of Luke in the Bible. It means you need to go out of the way for the people whether you like them or not. The story of the Good Samaritan. Do I have time for the Good Samaritan? Let me see if I do. Oh, we'll make time. On one occasion, the expert in the law stood up to test the rabbi. He said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, how you read it, he answered. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But who's your neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and he went away, leaving him half dead. a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. A priest was walking down the road. He saw the man beaten, and he went to the other side. But a Samaritan, who was the enemy of the man that was laying in the road, he stopped. He took care of the man. He bandaged him up. He took him to an inn. He paid the innkeeper to take care of this man till he was healthy. And when the man was healthy, he then released him. And then they said to the rabbi said to them, "So who is your neighbor?" No, I'm sorry, that's not the line. But that would have been a good line too. Which one of these? I'm throwing my own stuff in there. Which one of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the man replied, "The one who took care of him." And you know what the teacher said? Go out and do the same. Go out and do likewise. Go out and help your neighbor. Go out and love your neighbor. You know what I found out to be, as I found out that in the what the 12 step is all about, the joy of living is the theme of the 12 step. The joy of living. Why did guys like Tony O, with 36 years of sobriety, still come to the home group in a suit and tie and still have a happy smile on their face? The joy of living. Why did they keep showing up at every single banquet that they go to? The joy of living. We have a joy in our heart. A change has happened. It's an amazing thing. If you're walking around and you're just hanging on and you're miserable in all your affairs, you have not had a spiritual awakening. You are not experiencing the joy of living. And maybe the only thing that you're not doing is you're not helping anybody. And let me tell you something. Just speaking at meetings is not enough. It's good. If this was the only gig that I had during the week, though, that's not enough. You need to be out there. You need to put the hands dirty. How can I help you? You know, there's so much stuff in this step 12 that I was reading. It was amazing. There was stuff in here that was talking about letting people live in your house. And listen to this. Does this sound anything like AA the way we know it today? You know what AA today? Casey, where am I going this Friday? Where am I speaking? Up in, where you got me? In Orlando? Where are we going on Friday?
At Friday Night Live,
Boca
Speakers Group.
Boca Live at the speaking. Okay, right here. All I'm saying is that Casey said, "Can you speak on Friday?" And I said to my wife, Casey said, "Can we speak on Friday?" Because Friday's date night, you know, so I got to clear that. I try to keep Friday night open, but once in a while, because I love Casey, and I said to Sandy, "Can we speak on Friday?" And she said, "Yes." So we're going up to, you know, just south of Orlando on Friday. And we're going to speak at the Boca Town Hall meeting. But I want to tell you know when I get you know what I said to Danny? I said, "Danny, on Friday I'm speaking at the meeting." He's like, "I'm in." And I said to Doug, "I'm speaking at the meeting and I'm in." And if Justin was here, if he wasn't going on with his aunt this week, he'd be in. That's what we do. And Michael's going to come up. That's what we do. We travel together. But you know what I hear sometimes when I say to people, "Do you want to come to Bark and speak for me at 10 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday?" And they say like this, 10 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday. Listen to this, what they wrote in the big book. Or, "Would you like to try out a new meeting on a Wednesday?" Who's speaking? "Well, would you like to come? What's the format?" Jenny, you know the amount of interference that I ran in the beginning when I invited people in here from NA. They almost had a nervous breakdown. Isn't that AA? Okay. You're not going to lose your card if you come to an AA meeting, I promise. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You may have to act the Good Samaritan every day. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your home, counseling frantic wives and husbands and relatives, innumerable trips. Innumerable trips. Rick, how many trips have you had to sanitations and courts and hospitals and jails? I bet you would say the word innumerable. And I don't mean for yourself. I mean for the people that you're helping. You know, one time, there was a guy, Richard, from our old home group, Owen. You know, Richard, that got murdered.
Yeah.
And You know, I used to see him every time that I went in to speak at one of these places. I used to see him speaking at these places. And while I was, when I relapsed, and I was in charge, and I had 6 felonies on my head, and I was before the judge in the drug court, I noticed I saw Richard, sober, in that same court, speaking on behalf of those people, like you do it. Because it doesn't matter how many times we go, because this is what we do. And let me tell you, you know how you can judge how you are right now? You know how you can judge? As I start speaking about service, if you're starting to get antsy in your seat, take a look at how many guys and gals you're sponsoring. Take a look on how much service commitments you're doing during the week. Take a look on how you're serving a God that has so freely given you this gift, if you're finding yourself not being able to pay attention to this. And then take a look at your program and then see where you can dig in. This is exactly where they like the 11th step is. If any of this is bothering you, you just know that there's something that you can change in your program. And let me tell you, before you start saying, that's for the new guy, before you start saying, that's for the new guy, the way that you keep from not being the new guy again, or being miserable, and no one's asking you to sponsor, you got 38 years of sobriety, and nobody, they have a special section for you in the home group, and nobody sits around you. And you think it's out of respect. It's because you're not helping anybody. And not only not helping, and nobody wants what you have anyway, because it always has strings attached. So listen, we're going to go a couple minutes over. Give me a couple seconds. Right? There's a lot of stuff that, you know, you're not going to see me for a couple years, God willing, if you guys invite me back. I know I brought the Bible in 2 times again, so we'll have to renegotiate that contract. Your telephone may jangle at any time, day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. That happens. You gotta have balance. And if you can't have balance, you gotta have permission. You may have to fight with him if he is violent. This is the guy that you're ministering to. This is the guy that you went out and helped. This is the guy that you brought home to your house. I'm not saying that in 2009, almost 2010, that we can bring any guy to our home. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this is what they were talking about, going to any length. Sometimes you will have to call a doctor. This is one line in here that some of you guys that have been passing out during the last 11 weeks in here, you might have misunderstood this line. Sometimes you will have to administer sedatives. But that wasn't to yourselves. That's the problem, right? That was to the person you were trying to help. Now, if you do all this, and you have this joy of living, let me tell you, if you haven't read Alcoholic Number 3, has anyone not read Alcoholic Number 3 in the big book? If you haven't read Alcoholic Number 3, what an amazing story. What an amazing... Listen, if you read it 27 times over the last 24 years of your sobriety, go back and read it again. It's amazing. Larry, have you read this recently? It is amazing. Alcoholic Number 3. Listen what he says. It's almost like this is not the book I was studying from earlier. It would be hard for me to estimate how much AA has done for me. I really wanted the program. I wanted others to go along with it. I noticed that the others seemed to have such a release, a happiness, a something that I thought a person ought to have. I was trying to find the answer. I knew there was even more, something that I hadn't gotten. And I remember one day, a week or two after I had come out of the hospital, Bill W., the one that wrote this book, was at my house, talking to my wife and me. We were eating lunch, and I was listening, and I was trying to find out why they had this release or this peace in their hearts that they seemed to have. Bill looked across at my wife, and she said, "Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep talking about it and telling people all about it. Now, if you don't feel that, if you don't have that inside you, oh, there's not, and you haven't drank, no big deal. You just need to go back through the steps, hopefully with someone that's worked the steps, and get this incredible conscious contact with God, who's going to bring you to this place that's going to give you a freedom. And let me tell you, on the days when you have 102 temperature, all you're going to think about is wanting to come to the meeting. On the day 2 weeks ago that my wife and I had tragedy going on in our house, we had a young baby in our house that seriously hurt themselves in our house. And I left, and the baby lost consciousness inside my house. And the baby's eyes rolled back in his head and stopped breathing. And I left my wife there. And I said to Sandy, I have to go to the meeting. And she said to me, go to the meeting. I can handle it here with the doctors and what else we need to do. Because nothing is more important than telling you guys what the Lord has released me from. And I came here and I was visibly upset and I had tears in my eyes and I was all shaken, but I got through it. And on the night, on the day, and Mason was with us during this, and Jenny and all you guys have heard this story 100 times, but I need to tell you one more time so you understand the joy of living and how important the 12th step is. On the worst day of my sobriety, that continues to be the worst day, than when my grandmother passed away, worse than anything else. On the day that we went to go get the ultrasound for the only time that we were pregnant, and the doctor said that there's no heartbeat. And I looked over at my wife, and she looked over at me, and I felt like they took a 2x4 and a sledgehammer, and they smashed me in the solar plexus. And I thought to myself, this can't be happening. They must have made a mistake. There's no way. I serve God all the time. My wife serves God all the time. There's no way that that baby does not have a heartbeat. You must have made a mistake. And we stood there, and I couldn't speak. And the first call I made was to Mason and Eddie. And I said to them, I'm not showing up at the meeting tonight to take the meeting into the recovery place. Or wherever that was. I'm not showing up. As a matter of fact, I'm not doing any more extra meetings. I'm going to do my AA meetings, but I'm not doing any more service meetings. If this is the way God repays me, I can't do this. And that night, Sandy was at her Al-Anon meeting because she had girls she sponsored there. And I was with Jenny and you guys over at Christian Recovery Solutions because that's what we do. Because our personal problems and stuff that's going on in our life certainly pales in comparison to the incredible responsibility that God has given us and having that joy in our heart. And let me tell you something. God has released me from this incredible, awful disease, and I just want to tell everybody about it. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Yeah.